coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
I mean, it is. Do frogs have jaws that unhinge?
No, they're largely kept in place. They just have a really big mouth print. I mean, they could.
You don't like that your mouth print. We should never ever say mouth print again.
Good thing I didn't get to finish my narrative.
I would go in the opposite direction and say we need to use mouth print more often.
I think, for example, if you're describing MODOK, one of his features is his enormous mouth print.
So I have a question for you then. If we're talking about mouth prints, like what's Black Bolt's mouth print? Is that like a, are we talking about extrapolated mouth print or a literal mouth print?
No, I think a literal because he's got like a normal people size mouth print.
Sure. Size.
But he can create kind of like an aural snow angel.
There you go. I gave somebody the aural snow angel once. I wasn't invited back to the party.
Well, that was the name of
my... They took my Eyes Wide Shut mask away from me.
That was my garage band.
Aural snow print? Snow angels? Yeah, right?
Yeah, mouth print was our first album.
That was a good. Didn't you guys open for Ultra Cafe one time?
We were going to.
This is, by the way, this is Hey Kids Comics. It's staying in. So we're excited tonight because we're joined by our brother from another mother, podcasting brother, an all around amazing dude. So far into being a regular on this show that he's the feature of our show. He's the third member of our cast, even if he, you know, wanders into the room every once in a while.
I'm the shimp of Hey Kids Comics.
Yeah, he's like Tom Poston in Mark and Mindy.
He's our Larry, Daryl, and Daryl.
I'll take that. I like that.
About once an episode, he shows up and says his name. Everybody laughs, and then he wanders upstairs. That's what he does. It's Eddie Funky Cold Medina.
Apparently also known as the Fruit Bat Man.
Yeah, Fruit Bat. Like, I don't know what I was channeling, like...
I'm making that to a comic book, a Batman parody comic, the Fruit Bat Man.
There you go.
Channeling,
Fruit Batman. Well, it's Fruit Batman versus Fiesta Taco Spider-Man.
Oh my gosh! That's gotta happen!
No.
That's gotta happen!
We gotta get Blake to collaborate.
With special appearance by the Man Shih Tzu.
Oh, God, we got to get the Man Shih Tzu back.
What was it last week, Cole? Sheet seaweed.
Sheet seaweed, yeah, that's a delicious news snack treat. So this is Hey Kids Sheet Seaweed number 287,
brother.
287, Friends, Powers, Leagues, and we're going to talk about... Our friends who are in league with powers. No, we're going to talk about.
Okay.
That's right. Talk about Gutty Frogs. We're going to talk tonight about the animated incarnations of the Justice League, even though it wasn't always called the Justice League. It always was.
Yeah.
In our hearts, the Justice League.
It's so good. And going through and researching for the show and reviewing all like the synopsises from all the episodes of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, I forgot how many. It's hard to pinpoint an episode where I wasn't like, I remember that episode vividly and I didn't like it. You know, there were so many great episodes. Eddie, did you watch the show?
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. I was hardcore into it because of my hardcore-ness around the Batman animated series and then Superman animated series, because it all just fell in line with one another.
It was the end of Unlimited was the end of that universe. is kind of what they say. Like, there have been some attempts, but at the end of the day, when Justice League Unlimited ended, it ended the Batman, Superman, Justice League. You know, that DC animated universe was over.
Oh, yeah, and we've, you know, I've gone rather publicly about where things like, you know... just reprehensible attempt at Aquaman in Brave and the Bold. I am still mad about the rainbow, the center point of the rainbow between Brian Blessed and Freddie Mercury that is the Brave and the Bold Aquaman.
I love that that lived on.
it has. There was somebody we were talking about the other day, and I had to describe them in a similar rainbow.
The Prince Adam singing "What's Going On" version of Aquaman is that?
Okay,
we'll move
this
on.
This is a Brave and the Bold thing.
Oh yeah.
yes, it is.
How did I miss this one?
Oh, you haven't seen their version of Aquaman?
No.
It's Captain Crunch's flamboyant nephew.
If Rip Taylor, if Master and Commander starred Rip Taylor,
God,
that's what you would have. This is what you would have. That might be my best reference in a long time. And he brings it out of me tonight. That's great.
I'm looking up Raven the Bold Aquaman right now. Well, he looks normal.
Roy,
no, he doesn't.
I referred to a pair of 80s boobs from an 80s horror movie as the Rip Torn of boobs because they were looking two directions and all over the place, and Roy couldn't stop laughing at that. So I'm on a roll this week. But anyway, that has nothing to do with the Justice League.
We're going to go way back to before a lot of our listeners were born.
Before I was born.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Seriously? You too, Eddie.
Oh, whatever.
You were born before 73?
Oh, wait, when did it premiere?
Super Friends, my friend.
Super Friends debuted in 1973 on ABC.
I also debuted in
1973. I
dropped it on ABC tonight. That is not a
coincidence. Tonight, a Dallas woman gave birth.
It really is. Knowing my strong connection to Batman, that should not be a coincidence. Because the Super Friends is what introduced me to Batman, that and the Adam West Batman. I'm not even sure which came first. It's like the chicken or the egg.
September 73.
Okay. I was around for a couple of months.
It was pretty cut and dry superhero stuff, about 16 episodes long, and then reran forever like they used to do back in the day.
Oh, God, yes. And the thing about it was, is it had the right idea, and that was to give you a classic kind of Justice League mix. You had Superman, Batman and Robin, Wonder Woman. And I believe that was Ted Knight announcing.
It was definitely him doing the Batman Funimation intro, so I wouldn't doubt if he also did Super Friends.
Yeah, I believe he was the voice of Super Friends. But you had Aquaman and... God, who all? But it was basically
I didn't realize Super Friends ran so long. 12 years?
Well, it did.
A lot of it was repeats, but it kept reinventing itself because your initial run was basically your core DC, your top DC heroes.
That's the heavy hitters,
And they would go up against the worst villains in the history of superheroes.
Yeah.
Like King Plasto.
Yeah, they really kind of made it.
Dr. Noah Tall, I remember distinctly seeing this one over and over, and his sidekick, Twisty, his henchman. he was trying to explain how smart he was to the Wonder Twins, who were the original comic foils. Wonder Dog.
Just real quick, you're right, Ted Knight was a narrator.
Oh, okay, yeah. I remember when Chuckles died. Oh, wait, that wasn't a different show. but you had this. Chuckles is dead.
Oh, yes. Okay, I got the reference now.
So you had this, you know, some of the best characters in the DC catalog.
Yeah.
Going up against this guy who was pointing out to Marvin and Wendy that, you know, see those, that, Those encyclopedias on the bookshelf, I've memorized every one of them. I know it all. And then, of course, Twisty.
Superpower right there.
Yeah, and Twisty has to chime in. That's right, he's Dr. Noah Tall.
But I think we need to
talk about it. Oh, my gosh.
I think we need to talk about Wendy, and we need to talk about Marvin for a second.
Right. I was going to say the Shaggy and Joni Cunningham of the Super Friends.
Chachi Cunningham of the Super Friends. No, but because at that point in time.
The dog was cool.
The dog was cool. They needed that. It was that era where you needed to have kids in every show.
Because Robin wasn't enough.
Yeah. Well, Robin was.
Identifiers.
Yeah.
Robin was kind of like that older cousin who's in college now.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sort of, you know, he had that youthful adventure-eyed kind of feel.
Still.
You knew I was going to bring that up.
Oh, I knew it.
But you know, he still wasn't he wasn't like a younger kid. Kids you could identify with, and kids who were like, Marvin was a wannabe superhero. It was like, you know, when do I get to be a super friend? When you have powers.
Right. And you get rid of the bell bottoms.
But yeah.
You trip over the bell bottoms, man.
And you know, he's about to say something about Batman and Robin not having powers, and meanwhile, Bruce is over there balling his fist up. Like, just say it. Just say it.
Just say it once.
The show's going to get a lot less wholesome. This is going to turn into All-Star Super Friends.
I want to see Frank Miller's Super Friends. I want to see Super Friends written by Frank Miller and then picked up by Grant Morrison.
Oh, God.
Warren Ellis, like, just the worst. Oh, yeah, Eddie. Yeah, cool.
With a touch of Alan Moore in there somewhere.
Oh, precisely.
Listen, here's an idea. Somebody do this. We have a lot of really talented friends. Somebody take the videos from the Super Friends, rip the audio, and re-record the audio Frank Miller style.
Oh dear God, that would be brilliant.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Plasto, you're a dead man. And my other one that I kept seeing all the time was the mysterious blue jet that would fire a beam at anything of value and turn it into something innocuous. And Aquaman actually went to the aid of this was back when the big super, the offshore drilling was in its infancy.
Right.
And he went to the aid of an offshore drilling platform because instead of drawing up oil, they were getting something that looked like orange juice.
What?
And I guess Aquaman was naive enough to the dangers of the whole operation at the time that, like all of us, that he really wanted to help him get back into the oil business. Because, I mean, energy crisis and all.
Oh, yeah.
But
kids, before you were born, there was a smoke screen known as the energy crisis where we were told when I was about 11 or 12 years old, that by the time this 8-year-old kid got to be old enough to drive, ergo 8 years later when he was 16, there wouldn't be any fuel left, any fossil fuels left on Earth.
And how long after the Kaiser was thrown down did that happen? But listen, in 77, it started heating up.
Yeah.
And it started heating up because not only did they decide they ditched Wendy and Marvin. Picked up the Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
As well as.
Which was a huge improvement in my book.
Yeah.
As well as the Black Vulcan, Apache Chief, Samurai, and what was the other one? There was one other one that they invented.
Yes.
For the show.
I think you're talking about the Village People.
I know it was.
I hadn't thought about that. It was the damn Village People.
Make no mistake, it absolutely was the Village People.
They just needed like a construction worker in there. Yeah, it was Black Lightning. Did you say that?
Black Vulcan at the time.
Oh, Black Vulcan. And then the Asian dude with the little knot on his head.
The Samurai.
Oh, that's Samurai. Okay, sorry. Yeah, and the Apache Chief.
And there was one more. Does anybody remember? Cyclone?
No.
Well, wasn't the Adam part of that run too?
But he wasn't in the introduction.
Oh, okay. Because I remember the Atom getting introduced at some point.
There was a an episode where both the Atom and Plastic Man showed up,
which was bizarre for the, considering.
And apparently something happened where a mouse had got into the supercomputer there at the Hall of Justice.
And that's enough.
God's truth. Superman had to use his X-ray vision to guide Plastic Man to snake his arm through the inner workings.
Okay. Because of a mouse?
And retrieve this mouse.
That's a real plot?
That was an actual plot. Spoiler.
I thought you were setting this up for a joke. Oh my god.
Oh god, I wish. That's my childhood.
The one that stands out for me, because I have these on DVD somewhere, and I watched them all, but the one that really stands out for me is there was an episode.
I believe, real quick, it may have been just those three.
It might have been just those three. Okay.
There was another dude.
His later incarnations brought in him. Like El Diablo or something like that, and then Cyclotron.
Cyclotron is the guy I was thinking about, but that's
maybe. But the Samurai was the Tornado guy.
Okay.
So that may be where you're disconnecting the two.
But the one that I always remember is the one with Skylab in it. Do you remember the one with Skylab in it?
Oh, my.
It was like, the whole thing was somebody had to, like, There was time travel, and they had to get Skylab to help them build a time machine in space, and they had to go back in time. But it had Sky. I thought that was really dating itself, as well as including something of the time that was really, really, because don't underestimate the popularity of Skylab.
Skylab was huge back then.
Well, yeah. Okay, explain what Skylab is. I know what Skynet is, but I'm not sure about Skylab.
Back before, like, decades before the International Space Station,
yeah,
NASA put up the first, what I believe to be the first, long-term space station known as Skylab. And the idea was, much like the International Space Station, astronauts would go up in space, live there for a while, and it was kind of through Skylab that they figured out precisely what nobody ever thought about, like, even though there's no gravity, or practically because there's no gravity, you have to have some sort of way to exercise your muscles, otherwise they atrophy after months in space. Yeah. So the first astronauts to come down from Skylab were having to go through physical therapy because they literally had to teach their bodies how to work under gravity again.
That's bizarre.
But this season really didn't have any supervillains in it. It had Black Manta, if I remember right.
The thing about it is, it's weird because when they brought in the extra super friends, and then they would have guest super friends like Green Lantern.
Yeah. Right.
Or Plastic Man. Like, folks would start, this is the first time you started having characters that weren't part of your standard character key for the animators. But I think they still continued to have a lot of, mad scientists and witches, yeah, and goofball characters. And still hadn't quite committed to bringing in the greater DCU.
Yeah. Right. I agree with that.
They weren't as silly as the early stuff. But if I'm not mistaken, actually, they might well have been because, well, hell, I can't remember if it was Marvin and Wendy or the Wonder Twins who encountered Noah Tall, but it must have been Marvin and Wendy.
Well, yeah.
It seems right for the period where he's telling Twisty, I'm going to rap three times on this fence. What are we going to rap about? Back before you were born, the word rap meant to talk.
Oh, yeah. It's just good. It's just good. So
I think eventually Flash and Green Lantern and Hawkman.
Yeah.
The original team was kind of, it was Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman, and Superman. And that was it, Then yeah. They got a bigger budget and could hire more voice actors.
No, it was good. It was good. But then as we get into the season three, that's when they start, a light bulb went off and said, you know what? Maybe if we actually include the villains from the comic books, people will be more interested in our show.
Exactly, and I think at that point they jettisoned the sidekicks.
They did. Completely, I think, at that
point. Oh, yeah, really? They got rid of the Wonder Twins, too?
No, yeah, the Wonder Twins were still there. No, the Wonder Twins were still there.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think they played the same role anymore.
No, they tended to, you know, monitor the trouble alert.
Oh, okay, so they stayed back at the Hall of Justice.
And yes, kids, that's what it was called, the trouble alert. But the what no, they no, start
in,
doing...
That was in their day, the Twitter feed, basically.
Exactly. It was sort of a combination Twitter feed and one of those police band radios.
Right.
So essentially what happened was I could just see like a meeting at Hanna-Barbera, and they're like, well, we got to revive this superhero show. And it's like, you know, if only we could challenge the Super Friends with, and thus, in my apocryphal version, the challenge of the Super Friends was born.
Yeah, yeah. Because then you got the Legion of Doom. The first Legion of Doom with the weird Darth Vader coming out of the swamp helmet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that.
That's the AT&T Stadium.
Yeah. Did it come until season three?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so far off on my... Yeah, okay. Because I didn't even realize that the actual DC villains didn't make an appearance until later on either.
Well, yeah, unless they're a child.
It was that dumb idea that you could just invent, you know, like mad scientists.
The villain of the week, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And what's odd is that continued to perpetuate in superhero television for decades.
I know. I was about to say that. That's so weird because they made the same mistake with Smallville. For the longest time, they were just inventing villains on Smallville until a few seasons in, they thought, aside from Lex Luthor, they thought, oh, let's start introducing some of the stuff from the comic book history.
It was the same thing with, like, the John Wesley Shipp Flash.
Uh-huh.
True.
Early on, it was just Gangster of the Week.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Scientist, alternately.
Which was, again, bizarre because when you backtrack to the George Reeves Superman, that was one thing that was so boring about it was, as a kid, I was waiting for the villains from the comic books to show up, and they never did. And I think that's why, as a kid, I loved the Adam West Batman, because it was chock-a-block full of DC villains. And Superman never was.
Right. No, that's absolutely accurate, I think. But with Go ahead. You get Luthor and Bizarre. Right off the bat, episode one, Legion of Doom. Luthor starts Legion of Doom. And you get your Bizarro, your Cheetah, your Luthor. I think there were appearances by, even in the first episode, it really focused on Bizarro and Cheetah and Luthor.
Yeah.
But I think you started to see, like, Black Manta and Sinestro. Like, kind of, you started to see them working themselves in the background. Because by episode two, you had Captain Cold, Black Manta, Sinestro. You had the whole...
You had Brainiac, Toyman.
Giganta.
Yeah, and that's why all these years I thought that they were always part of the Super Friends. I didn't realize they didn't come until much later. That's bizarre.
But this set a precedent that we're going to see, you know, later in the Justice League animated, that this is what people want.
Yeah.
It became part and parcel of the Justice League, even in the comics, even to this day. This is the Legion of Dooms. One of Cole and I and Eddie, I don't know if we've ever talked on the show about this with you, but one of our favorite comics, which is a comic called Justice that Alex Ross drew.
Yeah, the oversized thing.
Yeah, was a 12 issue, is absolutely based on this on the Super Friends superpowers.
Yeah, the challenges. Yeah, we did actually talk about it on United States of Geekdom together.
Of course we did.
Of course.
I'm pretty sure it was that show. It could have been the show, but I'm pretty sure that the other voices were amongst the discussion, too.
But yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's great. This is when I really started, like, oh, this exists, like, later. Yeah. Because, again, they ran the reruns of this stuff up until 86, 87.
Oh, yeah. And what's amazing is that I always assumed that Giganta was a creation of the Super Friends show because she was the ideal counterpoint to Apache Chief.
That's true.
And it turned out that Giganta is older than I am. She debuted in Wonder Woman number 9 in the summer of 1944.
That's insane.
I'm like, that is some deep cutting there.
Yeah, to find
characters like that. She was actually meant to be a Wonder Woman villain, because you had a couple of Wonder Woman villains, a couple of, you had Bizarro and Luthor and Brainiac for Superman. You had the Riddler and I think the Joker for Batman.
Yeah.
And then you had like Sinestro for Green Lantern, Captain Cold for Flash, Gorilla Grodd was part of the lineup.
But also don't forget that this is the series that gave the world their real first introduction to characters like Mixelplick.
Oh yes.
And and really laid the groundwork for, we talk about how this is the golden age, the Tanzanite age, whatever you want to call it, right? But this show introduced so many kids to the Justice League, to Green Lantern, to, this was my earliest, I guess this was my earliest exposure to the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
The Green Lantern and a cool version. This is the version of Aquaman that everybody gives hell to. That takes the piss out of, because this is the talks with fish and the circle.
And the thing about it is, this was, for my money, the ultimate Aquaman, because not only did I love Aquaman, I love the fact that anytime Aquaman was on the show and there was some kind of ocean danger, he was calling up every sea creature in the catalog.
That is true. That is
somehow true. Leading freshwater and brackish fishes into the deep ocean to their doom, because I hate to tell you, Arthur, the electric eel, as handy as it is in a maritime adventure, is a South American river fish that is going to be stone dead.
That was the best Alec Jones impression I've heard all night. It's a South American river fish.
Oh my God. Yeah. I remember the Missile Spitlick, whatever you say his name, episode where it was like the Wizard of Oz homage. Because I remember Wonder Woman was the Cowardly Lion, and it was like she was the early version
of
Omaha the Cat Dancer.
Oh, wow! Really?
Yes! You know
people making an Omaha the Cat Dancer? I thought I was the only person ever on this show, when Steve came on to do the episode with me, that knew anything about Omaha the Cat Dancer.
Oh, I know something here and there about Omaha the Cat Dancer.
Off topic, but on a topic that Cole and I talked about 2 weeks ago, I was watching the great, awesome Dwayne McDuffie scripted Crisis on Two Earths DC animated movie today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Cole, I don't know the last time you watched it or if you ever have, but it heavily features Uncle Marvel.
Oh, my gosh.
As from Earth, but this is Uncle Marvel from Earth 3, so he's evil Uncle Marvel.
Of course.
Like Black Adam version. And I didn't even realize it until I watched it. I've probably seen it 3 times, and then I was watching it today, and I'm like, wait a second! I know who that is! The show continued on, and it turned into World's Greatest Super Friends. So they started to kind of fold in just a whole bunch of people at this point. and really have some fun and blow it up. And this is where you get your Planet of Oz episode from, Eddie.
Is that what it's called, Planet of Oz?
Yeah.
She really was Omaha. Good Lord.
But also, there was a Super Friends Meet Frankenstein with Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, where they had Superman and Batman, like, melded into a creature?
Yes.
Is that the one? Am I remembering that right?
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh. That right. That is such a callback.
Oh, good night. Yes, I do remember a few of these. I was kind of out of the Super Friends by that point, but I do remember a few of these.
It was one of their heads on the other's body, but it was like a big hulking beast or something like that.
There was an episode with an evil captain with a submarine. This boat won't respond well to bullets.
It was for an October episode.
Yes. back in Vixen, I talked about 1979. It's the Cold War, but the the captain was Captain Nimoy, not Captain Nemo.
You're kidding.
But it had to do with like nuclear warheads trying to sink continents. And Batman had to handle it because Superman was out trying to help his bottle friends from Kandor. They brought a lot into this. They had a Universe of Evil episode.
Good night.
Two episode. So it had the super enemies, yeah. not the super friends, but the super enemies.
Of course.
Yeah, Ultraman and Superwoman and the
So they brought in the crime syndicate, but just called them the super enemies.
Yeah, I think I don't think they went full crime syndicate, but that's kind of what the implication was there. So they were starting to fold in a lot of things.
Yeah,
I didn't realize this show went on for as many seasons. Season
seven. No,
wow, I didn't either.
There's six seasons and a lost season.
Yeah, the lost season didn't come up until like it went into syndication.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And if you're a fan of the Super Friends, it will cost you to obtain them because they are not cheap to come by today. But good, like 20 years ago or more, actually more than that, 25 years ago probably, DC Direct fielded a whole bunch of box sets of Super Friends based on the challenge of the Super Friends, Super Friends figures, I should say. Yeah. And they were two packs, like Wonder Woman and Cheetah. Or
nice.
Robin and Scarecrow, I think. Batman and the Riddler. Lex Luthor and Superman. And they would come with, like in the Wonder Woman and Cheetah set, there was a traditional money bag with a dollar sign on it.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And Wonder Woman's invisible jet on a little display stand.
Oh. That's
fantastic.
And they did an actual miniature of the Hall of Justice. I actually still have that, one of the few pieces I still have from those sets. And they had Black Manta's sub, which is another one of the pieces, of course, from the – I actually still have the original Black Manta from that. And they're wonderful sculpts that really captured the look of these characters. And, you know, if you're very fortunate, you know, kind of keep your eyes peeled. You might pick one up at a toy show or something.
But are they like 6-inch figures?
Yeah, they're about 6 inches.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know about those.
But that spun into.
That's why we bring them up.
The superpowers. that brought us into the superpowers at yes. that point. And it's so good. Like
and before we transition completely, I really have to give some justice to their depiction of Aquaman, because I already thought Aquaman was cool. And then there was an episode where...
Why are we still talking about Aquaman?
Shut up! Where Superman and Aquaman had to stop a tidal wave. Superman goes over to these couple of bulldozers inexplicably parked on the beach, yanks off their scoops, and just tosses one over to Aquaman and catches it like it's nothing. And he became infinitely cooler than he already was.
To you.
Shut up. And he loves Wendy's homemade buttermilk biscuits.
Well, who doesn't?
Well, I mean, have you ever tried?
Wendy does have the nice biscuits. I will
no, say. Wendy. Can we name this issue?
Wendy has the nice biscuits.
Wendy does have the nice biscuits.
But in all fairness, have you ever tried to bake at 12 atmospheres? Ain't gonna happen.
Did y'all ever get into the Super Friends comic book?
Because it's like you know, it lasted forever. What's really interesting in the research I was doing, the show runs longer than the comic.
Yeah. It's not a surprise because often any comic series that are based on cartoon series are normally short lived. Like as popular as the X-Men animated series was in the '90s, like the comic book series based on it only ran for like 12 or 16 issues, not years and years. But
yeah, because there's a bit of a disconnect, I think, between the stories. Like, for example, I know that Marvel in recent years did a comic based on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. live action show.
Yeah. Right?
And I can't help but wonder, is it even still around?
No, it's not.
Yeah, because the people who watch the show for what it is. the comics don't really capture that.
I mean, but we do still have Daisy and Coulson in the greater Marvel universe.
Oh, yes, I love when that you have that sort of fold in that occurs.
I think they were good enough to stick.
I think that's a whole other topic for Hey Kids Comics in itself, is the disconnect from the movie audience not checking out the comic books, and why the comic book industry is, you know, failing so badly because they can't draw in the movie audience. But that's a whole nother.
Yeah, that's absolutely about.
That's like about four hours
of recording,
right? Yeah.
But that seems like a good segue into, you know, the meat and potatoes of this show, which is the more recent Justice League and Justice League Unlimited cartoons, which I personally believe, as far as DC goes, cutting out, and this is hard for me to say, but cutting out the animated movie universe that they created, which is just brilliant.
Yes.
The stuff that they're doing in the animated movie sector is amazing. But cutting out shows like Young Justice, which that show is amazing, but cutting that out, the Justice League and the Justice League Unlimited shows, I think personally, are the apex of superhero cartoons.
Like, well, let's touch very briefly on the superpowers. Because it's really almost a footnote anyway, and it will probably piss off Superpowers animated series fans. But the funny thing is, it was a period where I was coming into like late high school, early college years, and I was buying Superpowers, or I'd started buying some of the Superpowers figures in college. I stumbled upon I was picking up a Brainiac for my friend Steve that I found, and the more I look at it, I went back and bought another one for me. Because the detail was so amazing on those early Kenner Superpowers.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, they still hold up, in my opinion.
And then you know they were doing so well and so amazing, and then they went off on this weird Jack Kirby character kick, and I never could understand why do we need all of the denizens of Apocalypse? What is going on here? And it wasn't until many, many years later I found out that they were courting what they thought was the real market, and that was the animated series, where Darkseid and Apocalypse were a huge part of the ongoing storyline.
I still have right behind me right now the Superpowers Green Lantern and the Superpowers Batman figures hanging out behind me in the office, because I never got rid of them because they were so cool. Squeeze the legs and he brings the ring up. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you would squeeze Flash's arms and his legs would kick.
Yes, yes. And
much later, in a later wave, Plastic Man, if you squeeze his arms, his neck would extend.
I remember that.
That's true.
And to make it even more interesting, they used a rubbery plastic on his lower legs and feet.
Did they really?
Grandson was pretty solid plastic, but he had kind of a different feel that I guess they felt like that would put you in the mind of Plastic Man. And I stand corrected, it wasn't Brainiac. I was buying the Brainiac, but it was Martian Manhunter.
Okay.
Because I loved the sculpt on that so much that I bought that one. And to this day, that was the one piece that I kept out of that collection when I sold it off over the years.
That's cool.
Because that was the very first one.
Yeah, I have a watch case that I bought that's like a plastic dome with a white base that the watch came in, and I kept that, and that's what Green Lantern's in, like a little bottle city kept Candor like sitting in there. All right, we're gonna talk about Justice League now. How about that?
Yeah, we definitely. Okay. Springing off of the success of Batman the Animated Series. And then I think Superman the Animated Series, these became proof of concept.
More so than that, I think that what they were was they were proof of concept, but they showed more than just a viability for more superhero shows and selling more toys. But they showed that the fans, they gave the fans what they wanted. And we always talk about the fans, that you got to cater to the fans. You don't always, you know, you're scared to put superheroes in costumes. You're scared to do this and you're scared to do that. They gave the fans exactly what they wanted almost at every turn. It was crazy, especially when you get into the Unlimited, when you started getting like 30 and 40 superheroes on the screen at once. They gave the fans what they wanted, and it was pretty dang amazing to watch. But yeah, there, you know, it started with a three-part episode, and that three-part episode was kind of your introduction to the League. It was definitely your introduction to Martian Manhunter. That's where they introduced you to Manhunter. Was in the three-part episode because they had white Martians, if you remember right. That was a real dark, kind of dark episode. Like that's the thing I really liked about these episodes is that they didn't shy away from going dark if they needed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there were episodes, there was one episode in particular that I remember because it was cool. It's called Legends. Do you remember Legends?
I do, but I know it was different. That's all I can remember.
It was the JSA episode. It was in the first
season. Oh, okay. I'm thinking of something completely different then. No.
So the JSA, they bring the JSA in, which is pretty fantastic because when had you ever seen the JSA before in any kind of cartoon? Like, what?
That's oh, exactly.
So they had a Wildcat. They had Alan Scott. They had, your standard JSAs. But then at one point, like, I'm trying to remember who it was told John Stewart, because John Stewart was the Green Lantern back then, and I had a problem with John Stewart as the Green Lantern only because it wasn't Hal Jordan, and I was like, everybody's like, oh, you're a racist. I'm like, no,
I'm a characterist.
Hal Jordan is the only Green Lantern I want to see ever in a cartoon.
Are we talking with this? Was this 1998 or 2018? Because I can understand people reacting to that. Have that reaction nowadays.
It wasn't sort of like reassigning the racial profile of an existing character.
Right,
he was an actual, at the time, I think he was the current Green Lantern, or at least current enough that they made an editorial decision.
I think it was the Kyle Rayner era where these started coming out, but I could be wrong.
He was recent in recent.
Yeah, yeah.
This is why he became popular is because they pulled the cartoon led to his popularity in comic books.
Yeah.
Because they kind of pulled him out of obscurity and put him in, which at this point, I looking back on it now, it was a pretty cool ass move. But at the time I was livid that I couldn't get. And the reason was I couldn't get more Hal Jordan Green Lantern crap to put on my bookshelves. Because they weren't making that. They were making John Stewart stuff. And then everybody's sudden, like, you're a racist. I'm like, you shut your mouth. But
all of a sudden, Hot Girl soared literally in popularity.
Oh, yeah. That's what I always thought was smart. I love the fact that they didn't just go the core six. Yeah. And like you said, they went John Stewart, and then they also brought in Hot Girl minus Aquaman. Which I know, Cole, you probably weren't happy about, but I thought that was very clever of them to actually introduce a second female character instead of just making Hawkman. They actually made Hawk Girl as in the
film. Also, at the time, you were getting into the what you call like a post-Peter David era Aquaman, which is fine for the comics, but, you know.
Listen, when they did introduce Aquaman, he had the mullet, he had the hook hand. It was all in on that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, but at one point in this episode, and I remember, and I don't necessarily think that we should dwell like on the history of the show because I think everybody knows what we're doing at this point, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, this episode, now that I do my research, I think it was it wasn't an Unlimited show. It was just a Justice League show. But the time displaced, I think his name was The Streak, who was supposed to be the Jay Garrick Flash.
Okay.
The Streak.
told John Stewart that in the show that he was a credit to his people.
Wow.
Keep in mind, we're talking about a time displaced.
Yeah, character. that's a good point. And rather ballsy of them to take that. And not, I don't think you could do that today because you would have to do so much backpedaling to explain to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That this is not that if you create a character that represents something that genuinely exists in the world, it is not an endorsement of that type of person.
Right. And doing a little more research. The reason they didn't
shut out the butthurt alerts and
and the reason they didn't use the actual society, apparently Paul Levitz thought it was disrespectful. So they changed everything to the Justice Guild and made it a time displaced. But it had Wildcat, Golden Age, it had Alan Scott, Jay Garrick, the original Black Canary, and I want to say the original Atom, but I'm not 100% on that. Let me.
Also, I believe it was during, it may have been Unlimited, but I think it was also during Justice League that they did a story that brought in the Super Friends. That were created for the Super Friends television show.
But really?
Somebody was telling me about it, and they, you know, they changed their names. It wasn't like Black Vulcan and Samurai, and it was something like, I can't remember what.
No, they did. They did. It was Unlimited. Unlimited.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
but
I thought
that's okay.
One of the most brilliant things was instead of it being Apache Chief.
Yep.
Which is kind of insulting, frankly. I mean, I'm a white boy, and that's insulting. They changed the name to Long Shadow, which I thought, what a brilliant character name for this size shifter.
Well, it was right. Well, it was also because there was a deleted scene from that episode. It's like, me Dick cost him Long Shadow. And they felt that that was probably inappropriate for a kid's cartoon show, so they went ahead and cut that.
I
think you're like channeling the Harvey Birdman where he spilled coffee on his crotch and couldn't grow large.
That was a good episode. And that's
a little right in the morning, a little.
What you just said shows the staying power of Super Friends. That Harvey Birdman.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking.
No. That Harvey Birdman had
staying power.
Oh, no. I wasn't making a pun, but now I really wish I would have. But just to cover a little bit of background, you know, the original Justice League had Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Wally West as the Flash, not Barry Allen, Manhunter, and Hot Girl. It ran until February of 2004 when Unlimited took over and then blew up. Like blew the roster up. So that's the short history of the Justice League cartoon.
Well, and the other thing that the Justice League cartoon did brilliantly is to set the stage for, I mean, it is little wonder they called it Justice League Unlimited because they were already setting the stage by walk-ons. They did the most incredible tribute and the most incredible nod and, you know, it wasn't just, you know, studio glad-handing. They actually gave the fanboy what we'd always wanted in a subtle kind of way, and that was to have characters just, you know, they're like the Justice League satellite. There goes Vigilante.
I know! Seeing Vigilante and was so...
There's a Vigilante episode?
Well, no, you saw the original Vigilante, the Western-looking one. You just saw him walk by, or Golden, or Shining Knight would...
There were a lot of
little background cameos
references. Yeah, but there, get this. Here's one I didn't know. Okay, there was an episode called "The Terror Beyond," in which Dr. Fate and Aquaman rescue Grundy and try to use him to battle Cthulhu, essentially. So
seriously.
But think about this. This is pointed out in some of the research that I did. It was, first of all, it was written by Dwayne McDuffie, which is amazing. Yeah. Second of all, what is that? So let me repeat that and see if you guys pick up on it. Dr. Fate, the DC's greatest magic user, and Aquaman, DC's premier sea-dwelling superhero, fight an ancient mystical evil. Does that ring a bell anywhere else? Maybe in another publisher? Maybe in a comic that also starts Silver Surfer and the Hulk and Gargoyle and Valkyrie?
Oh,
Maybe in the Defenders. Defenders. It was Doctor Strange and Aquaman parallel.
Or Doctor Fate, yeah, Doctor Strange and Namor.
Yes, thank you. Dr. Strange and Namor parallel. Because they could get away with all kinds of stuff in this show and absolutely And they did, here's the other thing that they did that was so damn cool, is they made a superhero show that didn't have to be about superheroics. Because if you remember, every season had like a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Do you remember those where it was like they would all go like spend time with their families, and John Jones didn't have anywhere to go for Christmas, so Superman would invite him to hang out with Ma and Pa Kent, you know, and like it was all real heartwarming, and it was you know that It's a Wonderful Life type of thing,
right.
Which I thought was pretty great. Like they did a good job. This show did a good job.
That was kind of like a carryover from a staple from like, you know, shows in the 70s and 80s where it was generally you'd have like a comedy and then like say for instance Different Strokes was always comedic, but every once in a while they threw in that episode
Made
you think where the neighbor touched Shavar Ross, you know, it was like a pedophile episode and you're like, wait, what?
Hunky Brewster gets stuck in the fridge.
Right. Exactly.
What's her name on the spinoff of Different Strokes? The
Facts of Life.
Facts of Life, yeah, where you know she didn't realize what a bong was and there was drugs.
No, it was always like those special very special
episodes, yeah. Right.
So that was their Christmas episodes. You know one story, and I can't remember if this was just from Justice League proper or Unlimited, but it was always the one that stuck out to me that it was one of my favorites was the Injustice Gang episode. Or maybe it was two episodes, I can't remember, it's been a while, where they brought in Lex Luthor formed the Injustice Gang.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it being really cool because they really showed the Injustice Gang bringing the Justice League members to like their knees to the point where I was like, you were thinking they were finally going to beat them. They were going to beat them. You know, and it had Copperhead, of course, Solomon Grundy and Cheetah, Shade, the Changing Man, I think was in it. And
what? Wow, Shade.
And it had one of my favorite, the Ultra Humanite.
Yes. I actually got a Justice League Ultra Humanite figure.
Man. And it was, I don't want to give it away for those who haven't seen it, but it was such a cool little twist between the Ultra Humanite and Batman. I was like, man, that's my boy Bruce. Always thinking two steps ahead. It's a great episode or episodes. Like I said, it's been a few years, so it may be a two-parter if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, Cole.
Yeah.
Ultimatum was the episode. Ultimatum was a combination of two things. Number one, it was a TV adaptation of a Grant Morrison JLA run that had a group of superheroes that were controlled by the government. In the comic, they were called now I'm trying to think of it.
Are you going back to the those Super Friends characters?
Yes.
Yeah,
Ultramarines. Yeah,
okay.
And then,
that's
good. But they were named
Superman in the
in the show. But they were named. You're right. It was Long Shadow, Wind Dragon, Juice, Downpour, and Shifter. Juice. Downpour and Shifter were Zan and Janna.
Yeah, exactly. They're just
what
portrayed as these pale aliens, but they're wearing purple. So you've got that nod to the original Super Friends. Juice would be Black Vulcan.
Yes, sir.
Wind
is that not the O.J. Simpson?
It was O.J. Simpson. Juice was O.J. Simpson.
It was actually a nod to that attempt at doing a candid camera type prank show.
Damn it, not the O.J. Simpson prank show.
Juiced.
Oh, Juice. Eddie, do you know about Juice?
No.
Look it up. Look it up. It's
trial.
Post.
It was post.
What?
Post trial.
Actually,
somebody's idea of a good idea was to have a hidden camera show with O.J. Simpson and people.
This actually kind of sounds familiar. Now that you mention it.
And then, when he did the reveal,
one of the skits was him trying to sell the white Bronco.
Oh, that's right.
And it had guns. It had bullet.
I've looked it up.
It had bullet holes in it. One of
the tagline was "You've been juiced."
In one of the skits, he murders someone. At a party.
One of the skits, they're like, he and his new girlfriend are trying to, like...
I'm looking at it. This is for real.
I know.
Nobody actually thought this was a good idea to put O.J. Simpson in this role.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Guys, do you remember Once in Future Thing, Part 1 and Part 2, where it was Kronos?
Oh, wow.
In the first episode, they go back, and they meet up with Batlash and Jonah Hex.
Yes, I do remember this.
Oh, it was the best episode.
So it was the best. In many ways, it was kind of like the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
Working so much.
Yeah.
You know, introducing you to...
everybody.
You know, and that's really the amazing thing that Warner gets television in the way that they don't get movies.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what has happened is through things like Brave and the Bold, there was a Brave and the Bold, like every episode of Brave and the Bold just started you in the middle of a story or the end of a story you never got to see.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, flipping on one and it's like, holy crap, that's Commandy.
Yep. Yep.
See Batman help.
The Last Boy on Earth, Commandy?
Yep. Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I really missed out watching this show, I guess.
Don't watch it.
Well, it did more than that, too, Cole, because if anything drove people to comics, it was this show.
Yeah, it's where you introduce a greater universe.
Yeah.
That you start to really develop that interest. And then we're probably coming up on it anyway. We mentioned Justice, which was basically Legion of Doom versus the Justice League or the Super Friends. Dunn is a very serious tale. And, of course, introducing a lot more characters as well. But another place where you see the Super Friends heavily that is tribute heavy, that it has little love notes. It's not in and of itself a love letter to the Super Friends, but it's peppered with love notes. And that is also an Alex Ross illustrated tale. Kingdom Come.
Oh, yeah.
The Gulag in Kingdom Come is the Legion of Doom headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
The United Nations building is the Hall of Justice.
Yep, it sure is.
And in the scene where Superman arrives, he's been convinced to return to public life to straighten up the new generation of super beings that don't care about anything or anybody but themselves. And he goes to this giant club chock full of these young supermen and confronts them. As he's pontificating, there's a drunk, this fat old balding guy wearing a green and white shirt with an M on it.
Oh, seriously?
Aged Super Marvin.
That's awesome.
Just completely shut down by Atom Smasher.
So, how long's this show going on now? Because I know we can go forever. Okay, so we got to start wrapping it up. I think we need to start looking in that direction.
Before we wrap it up, I wanted to bring up two animated Justice League things that are amongst my favorites. One of them is a quick one, so I'll make it quick. The other one we can expound on a little bit more if we want to. The first one was, and I love the animated series The Batman that came later on with Rina Romano as Bruce Wayne Batman. In season 5, they were slowly through all the season, they were introducing members of the Justice League. And I thought that was so cool, even though they were taking Batgirl and Robin, you know, out a little bit more. Batgirl. They started showcasing the Justice League members all through season 5. And what was genius about it is it came to a head at the end of the season where the Justice League all had to come back and basically form the Justice League because there was going to be a world-ending force called the Joining. They were basically like the Borg. You know, they were like this technological hive mind that came to Earth and to take over. They actually first appeared in season 4 and they were beaten back by Batman. Then they came back even stronger in season 5 where it was like the world as we knew it was changing. It was like Independence Day level of destruction amongst the Earth. And because they had teamed up with, oh crap, I'm drawing blank now. Hugo Strange. Gosh, I was about to draw completely blank. Wow. They teamed up with Hugo Strange, and they were able to sap the powers from the Justice League. But then, of course, through a turn of events, they got their powers back and defeated the joining and all that. But it was a great, great Justice League adventure within the Batman series.
That's cool.
And it was just great. Justice League fair. The other one is probably my all-time favorite Justice League animated anything, and that's The New Frontier.
Oh yeah.
Darwin so Cook's good. Masterpiece brought to life.
It's so good. I signed up for that Disney streaming, or that DC streaming service.
Yeah.
So I've already watched that twice since it's been on there, and so good and yet so dark.
Yeah.
It's telling of the time period. Yeah.
I mean, it is dark. I mean, the scene alone where Hal Jordan blows the brains out of the, after he crash lands and he gets capped. And, you know, it's all silhouette, but, you know, he pulls the trigger and the boom, and then you just see the brain matter blow out the back of this.
It's Korean War, isn't it? It's not World War II. I think it's Korean War.
Korean. Yeah, that's right. So good. Gorilla Grodd, Captain Cold. I mean, they threw in everything. This was when it really, the first time I think I really stopped to think, because he made Darwin Cook make his Wonder Woman a real Amazon.
Yeah.
She towered over everybody. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I never thought about that. If she's an Amazon, she's going to be at least a foot taller than everyone around her.
Exactly.
But
my thing about that was, I didn't think in the cartoon they were going to show her liberating the
right
camps, and she's just murdering dudes and liberating the women from the work camps. I'm like, whoa!
And then having a beer with the other Amazons to celebrate that they just killed all these dudes. I know, it was so bizarre and wonderful at the same time. And I'll tell you, I will recommend this to anybody. Find yourself a copy of the DVD, or if it's on Blu-ray, may have the special feature. There's a wonderful, wonderful Justice League documentary as a special feature. It runs about 30 or 40 minutes, so it's a full-length documentary on the history of Justice League. And it means a lot more to me now that Darwin Cook has, you know, passed away, but he is featured, of course, prominently throughout this documentary. And the part of this documentary that gets me every time, and even more so now, is where he starts to talk about he genuinely starts to talk about his love of these characters and actually starts tearing up talking about it. His voice cracks. And I'm thinking, that is a dude right there who gets it. He's lived this character. He's lived in this world since he was a kid. And now he gets to make a living creating new stories with these characters. And man, that is just awesome to see him talk to about these characters with such passion that he brings himself to tears about it.
That's awesome. Cole, do you have a favorite episode of either, you know, Justice League or Unlimited? It doesn't matter which, but do you have one that really stands out for you?
Wow, that's a tough one, because I've seen a lot of them, but unfortunately that was another that I was aware of it. I don't know that I ever got to see that many full episodes, but I was very much aware of it. I caught whatever I could because I was fascinated by the fact, and I'd heard so often about all of these characters that you would get to see that you're just like, wow, they're, you know, who the hell would think of that character?
Right, exactly.
And it wasn't, you know, they didn't have to invent anything. They mined this universe that was theirs for the taking, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's one episode that you need to seek out if you haven't seen it. And the title gives it away, but it's a fairly faithful retelling and it's episode 2 in the entirety of the series, Cole. And it's For the Man Who Has Everything. And it is a retelling of the Superman, like almost a retelling of Alan Moore and Gibbons' Superman Annual 11. And it is beautiful.
Really?
Yes. which we tout on this show constantly. If you haven't read the stories of Alan Moore and the collected DC, it's in there. But yeah, it hooked me. Like, the first episode had 30 damn characters in it. And then they do For the Man Who Has Everything as the second episode. And then the third episode was the one where they turned them all into damn babies.
Yeah. Yes.
And they had the baby demon Etrigan.
Yes!
Wow.
Oh, I forgot about that! Oh my gosh, you're making me want to bust out these DVDs and watch them. Fourth episode, they hit you with Hawk and Dove. And you know who Hawk and Dove were voiced by? Brothers from the Wonder Years.
Oh, wow.
Savage and his brother from the Wonder Years.
Kidding.
No! The third episode had Buona Beast in it. The fourth episode had the
Question. Yes, I know. I knew Buona Beast showed up. I'm like, holy crap!
Fifth episode, Booster Gold. Sixth episode, Dr. Fate. Seventh episode was the Super Friends episode. The 11th episode, Solomon Grundy with Dr. Fate. And they just keep, and then the 12th and 13th were that Kronos episodes that were so badass.
Okay, and you as a, I remember one, seeing part of one where they go and I think it was like, was Hal Jordan on trial
John Stewart was on trial.
And it's just like chock-a-block full of Green Lantern Corps.
Yes, all of them are there. All of them.
That little, like, basketball guy. And
the bad guy in that whole episode was Conjar Roe.
Yes!
Deep cut. Like, what? What? And then the Suicide Squad makes an appearance. And then Oberon, Big Barda, Mr. Miracle, Black Canary, Wildcat, like they all just Talia al Ghul, Felix Faust, the Huntress, Captain Marvel, the Vigilante and Vixen, like they're all in this, and they just kept every week you would get slammed with another awesome character that you had never seen in cartoon form before that sounded and looked like he did in the comic books doing awesome comic book things. And you were just like, how is this not my favorite thing in the I'm a grown man and I can't not watch this. Like, it's so awesome.
And that's where you know they did it right. It's appealing to the elementary kid audience, which it did because I was teaching at the time. And it appealed to the longtime fans in their adulthood. And that's how you know it ran the spectrum of all the fans.
Exactly.
When they do it the right way.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think there's been a more influential show. It was the Cole, you hit the nail on the head. It's the Crisis on Infinite Earths of cartoons.
Yeah, same scenario where it is introducing you to characters you never knew existed.
Yeah, right. Or characters that you had forgotten about, or characters that you didn't think you would ever see again, like Dead Man was in an episode. The Seven Soldiers of Victory were in the episode. The Crimson Avenger, Vigilante, Speedy, Shining Knight were all on a team together, and they were basically the Seven Soldiers of Victory. So the Legion of Superheroes was in an episode. Like, they were just like, let's go all in on this shit.
Yeah.
And they did. And they won. And I think that instead of having to fade off into obscurity, like so many cartoons do, I think that they were able to just drop the mic and say, we're done. Like, we did the show we wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, literally, for lack of a better word, they did it justice. And
yeah. Yeah, they did. Is there anybody or any stories? So here's a hypothetical. Are there anybody or any stories that didn't appear that you would have liked to have seen?
I can't even answer that because I haven't seen them all, and there's a lot that I've forgotten.
Okay, I can't wonder in any of the time travel, did they ever cross paths with Anthro?
No,
and that's a damn shame because Anthro was in the damn Crisis on Infinite Earths. Was Ambush Bug ever featured?
I think so. I don't think he was featured, but I think he appeared.
Yeah.
But not a proper, like, focus episode.
Right. There wasn't a weird, like, multiverse-breaking, fourth wall ambush bug
Okay. episode. I got two. One, Wild Dog.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Ouch. Wow.
Nice.
Okay. So they never went down the Wild Dog road, I suppose. Zurinrod Batman.
Oh, shit. That's awesome. They did not do Zurinrod Batman in this, But guess where they do it, Eddie?
Not Brave and the Bold.
Yes, in Brave and the Bold.
Yes. What? Yes, indeed. Yes,
they did.
What? They did. Yes, they did.
Okay, but... I seriously need to see the show.
So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go on a long shot here. I only want to see one story arc. You know, make it two episodes. I'm gonna say this out loud, and I'm going straight to hell. So just prepare yourself for that. I'd really like to see them take on Identity Crisis.
Oh wow!
Just what?
That's more like a modern
as an animated movie.
No, in the Justice League Unlimited.
Oh, in the Justice. That would be awesome.
That would not. It would be horrifying. Nobody ever. But there's a sick, sick part of me that wants to see it.
I'm surprised you didn't want. What was that? Major Force.
I wanted to see Green Lantern's girlfriend in a.
In the freezer or the refrigerator.
Just take the darkest Nightfall. I want to see Batman get broken by Bane. Yeah.
You got me sold on Identity Crisis. I love Brad Meltzer stuff. I love his stuff. I love Identity Crisis. I love his run on Justice League of America. Good night. I want to see that as an animated movie.
His opening Justice League. Now, as a DC adult animated movie, I think they could do Identity Crisis right.
Oh, yeah.
They did Killing Joke.
In the Justice League Unlimited world with that art,
they'd have to they'd have to do some tweaking.
maybe a little bit of tweaking.
Yeah, a little bit.
I want to see the super dark storylines explored in the Justice League animated world.
No, but seriously, if they did Identity Crisis as an animated feature, and then they actually did the style in that Rags Morales style. My gosh, could you imagine seeing that in motion on screen?
Oh wow, yeah.
In the new animated universe they should, and they haven't, but they've done such a good job with what they've been done.
Sure. Yeah.
That, you know, seeing we mentioned it earlier, seeing them do an adaptation of Justice, Alex Ross's Justice as an animated movie, a serious animated movie, would be fantastic. I think seeing Identity Crisis, as dark as it might be, would be great. We're going to get a Swamp Thing TV show, live action, which I'm sweating right now waiting on that to happen.
Is there really going to be one?
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be very dark, Vertigo type.
Is it going to be part of that DC
screen?
Oh. It's James
Wan. So it's the guy who did Saw.
No way!
The Swamp Thing TV show. Oh, they also have a Supernatural TV show coming that's based on the Grant Morrison Into Young Animals, the new stuff. That kind of Doom Patrol. Weird, psychedelic Doom Patrol show as well. Like, they're reaching out and doing some crazy stuff.
Man.
But also, Animal Man appeared in Justice League Unlimited as well. Like, that's cool. Like, a lot of really cool deep cuts in that show that that the animals were just having fun.
Did Starman ever make an appearance?
Speaking of, holy crap, things that need to be done is some of these, the actual Starman storylines.
You're talking about the Vertigo.
It was a Vertigo, though. No, they weren't, but the entire run of Starman, which turned out to be just a maxi series.
James Morrison did it, didn't he? Or James?
I believe so. Basically the new Starman taking over the mantle.
Yeah, that. I can't think of the.
But we probably ought to go ahead and wrap up.
All right, fine. I can sit here all night and do this.
I want to close with pointing out that as far
James Robinson, right? Robinson.
James Robinson. Thank you.
Okay, I was drawing blank. It was bugging me because I was drawing blank.
Superhero voice acting goes.
Oh, damn.
In my book. Rising all the way to number one, Kate Kasem making a career out of frickin' Robin. His opinion was Robin in the Batman and Robin animated series opposite Adam West. He was Robin in the Super Friends.
Yep.
And he was Robin when Batman and Robin appeared on frickin' Scooby-Doo. Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. He was playing dual roles on that, wasn't he?
That's right.
It was...
It's the Gate Crusaders!
It was Julie Casey Kasem's.
Yeah. Like,
not like Deliverance.
Holy ganja, Batman. Holy shit.
You're right, though. Like, coming in only second to, or I guess first to Kevin Conroy's second as Batman is Casey Kasem's Robin.
Yeah, I think it's the sort of forgotten seminal role of superheroes on television.
You're absolutely right. All right, well, let's plug it up.
All right, well, we're coming to you from the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. You can write to me at jcumail@gmail.com, or at yahoo.com, rather. You can find Eddie and myself on the first and third Sundays of every month over at DallasOnAir.com on the Rancor Pit Live, broadcasting from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Central from beautiful downtown Dallas. And on the first Sunday of every month.
Oh, yes, on the first Sunday of every month.
It's you, Eddie.
Yeah, that's me. At 9:30 a.m. Central is Figments, the Unexplained Mysteries podcast I do with my wife, Colleen. And we're gearing up for our big October Halloween show, which we will – listeners of Figments will might recognize this little thing that we do. We, a couple years back, we did a Urban Legends episode for October. We're bringing that back in a live format. So
nice.
The plan right now, because we have our green screen studio with the background, we're looking to get to a long sleeve green shirt. So for that episode, Colleen and I can be like disembodied heads.
That's
I don't know if it's going to work, but we're going to give it a try. It worked for Cole
unexpectedly.
Yeah.
My inadvertent see-through shirt that apparently he thought rendered me invisible.
Oh, my God.
The third Sunday of every month, be sure, and from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Central, Isle of Toys, A-I-S-L-E, Isle of Toys, my new show all about all kinds of cool toys. And the very next episode, we have a toy customizer.
That's
for
cool.
Aisle 14, do it yourself. 14.
I'm interested in that. Yeah, I can't even imagine being able to customize the toys that I have. Like, right. Let alone, it'd be cool as hell. And you can always find this show on Facebook, on Instagram, on the tweets at HK Comics Show. You can find us there. I really do seriously want suggestions for questions for an Alex Jones style parody show. So if you have any questions, any conspiracy theories you want explored by the crack staff here at the JCU, please send them. I want them so bad. I was just driving down the road today for like 20 minutes just doing it to myself. Just yelling.
I believe it.
just yelling about Tara being an insider and like just going through comic book plots and just making up crazy Alex Jones conspiracies based on this.
And finally, before we go, we want to, as Hey Kids Comics, bid farewell to one of the comic greats, Norm Brayfogle, who we industry lost this week.
Defined the Detective Dark Knight for an entire multiple generations.
Yes.
Art was amazing. Art was outrageous. It was just a fantastic depiction.
And we're going to run a little late on it, but speaking of another artist that we lost this year, Steve Ditko is going to be the subject of Hey Kids Comics Quarterly number 2.
So expect more Ditko talk after the documentaries we did. We kind of explored Ditko a little bit there, but expect an entire show, a Dit show on Ditko.
And don't be surprised if by the end of the episode there's another website that Andy is on in the vein of BillFingerBang.com.
currently operable, JasonMimosa.com.
That's correct, JasonMimosa.com. No, Ditko demands more respect than Bill Finger.
Really?
I'm just putting it out there.
Andy has respect in his little finger for Steve Ditko than he had for Bill Finger.
No, they both demand respect, but I'm not gonna get Steve's Ditko Steve'sDick.co is not going to be a website that I, damn it, now I got to do it.
All right. Well, we'll look for that coming up in Hey Kids Comics Quarterly number 2.
Buy, collect, enjoy your comics, watch Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. Eddie, thank you so much for joining us tonight. As always, an insight and a pleasure. You're so much fun. I love you, brother.
Well, thank you for keeping Gleek the monkey away from me tonight. I much appreciate it.
Glock your windows.
Yeah, he's known for, you know, just randomly masturbating on guests that you'll have on the show.
Can that stick as errata? I want that to be a part of our mythology now. All right.
You're thinking of the monkey from Space Ghost.
Gleek? What was it in Space Ghost?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. All right, everybody say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. We'll talk to you next week. Hey, kids, comments.